Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Truth Ministries radio broadcast. This is David Clark coming to you live. I am glad to be back with you again. It's been a little while. Coronavirus had us all out of whack, had us shut down for a little bit. But here we are, back on Father's Day 2020. I'm glad to be with you again. I've been waiting for this moment. I'm glad that we're able to get things rolling again. There's nothing worse than somebody that's called to preach sitting at home not preaching. There's nothing worse than somebody used to evangelizing or teaching not being able to do what they're called to do. But thank God that we're back. Thank God that he's got us moving again. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Brother Allen in Sound Room here, happy Father's Day to my dad and everyone out there listening. I wish you all a happy Father's Day today. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to deal with dad for a little bit. I'm not usually a theme preacher. I don't usually deal with whatever the current holiday is or whatever. But today I've got some scriptures I want to share with dads. I really believe that in the hour that we're living in, with the things going on in the world today and all the chaos and the craziness, really, I haven't had a chance to talk to many people because we've been closed up for a while about the craziness going on. But I really believe that if we can get this message out to fathers everywhere, we can kind of get a grip on things. If some dads will stand up and be men of God, I believe we could turn things around. Now, let's look in the Word of God here in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I'm going to start in verse number 1. First Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. I'll get it right here in just a second. I got to get back in my radio mindset. I can't hardly talk today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Listen, for kings and for all that are in authority. That's you, dads. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Man, I wish some folks right now would lead a quiet and peaceable life. There's some folks out there that went crazy and lost their mind that need to hear this word from Timothy this morning. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, everybody, men and women, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We're talking this morning about dads. I want to talk to you just about being a man of God. Being a man of God. Now, I told you a minute ago, in 2020, where we're living right now, what we are seeing a lack of on a drastic scale is men of God. Now, we've got men in power. We've got men in authority, lots of them. We've got men in Washington, men that are making decisions and making laws, and men that are doing things that are influencing all of us, but we don't see a lot of men of God. Now, I'm going to tell you the difference, because anybody can be put into a position of authority. Anybody, by the will of the people, by voting, by government appointment or whatever, can be put into a position of authority, but a man of God becomes a man of God by his own choosing. Let me explain that, because I know that God is the one that calls preachers and teachers and all that, but I don't even mean in working in the ministry. I mean in just a godly man. It is your decision this morning whether you are going to live as a godly man. Now, I know that being a dad is not an easy task. I am a father of three boys. My oldest boy, by the way, let me just go ahead and say this, turned 13 today. Jacob is 13. I've got a teenager, and I feel old this morning. I feel like I'm all wrinkly, and I feel like I'm 95 because my son is a teenager today. And being a dad is not an easy task, but I want to tell you that being a godly dad is even harder. It's an even higher calling. God has called us to be godly men in this hour. Raising up our children, we're going to read some scripture about that, raising up our children in the way they should go. But it is the responsibility of the father to lead the home in the way it should go. We are the priest of the household. I don't mean priest as in another denomination, but I mean the biblical definition of the priest of the home, the spiritual leader of the house. That is you and me, menfolk. That is us this morning. It is our godly commission that we raise our children, that we lead our home, that we are our companion's leader in the home. Your wife looks to you to be a man of God. She doesn't just look to you to help with the finances or to work and to buy the groceries. She looks to you to be the leader of the household, the man of God in this hour. Now, the reason why that the church is in such disarray right now and the world and the homes are in such disarray is because the lack of male leadership in this world. The lack of godly leadership in this world right now. And I'll explain that. You have people that are put into office that are making these executive decisions. I don't mean just the president. I mean everybody in office of any type of influence, whether or not they are people of God, whether or not they are people of prayer. I know people say they are, but do they really live what they say? We are seeing a deficit of men of God in this last hour, and decisions are made and things are done, and in their lives that they live, it's contrary to the word of God. And God will not bless sin. God will not bless all these types of things that go against the word of God, but he will bless holiness and godliness. He will bless Christ-likeness. And I want to ask you this morning, are you a man of God? Are you a man that follows after the pattern of Jesus Christ given to us by this word? Let's look at what this scripture says here. 1 Timothy 2, let's read verse 8 again. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I wonder this morning if we were to take a survey, how many fathers across just America, across Florida, or even in Jacksonville maybe, could say this morning that they could lift up holy hands. Now, I know a lot of people, they're going to go to church this morning and throw up hands, but they may not be holy hands. They may not be clean hands. They may not be pure hands. Can they do it? Can they unashamedly raise hands up to their Savior this morning to say that I have surrendered to Christ? I have given up everything in this world to follow him. Nothing else about this life matters to me. Only that I please Christ. Only that I am the model image of Christ. Only that I am the example of Christ to my children and my wife and my family, my co-workers. Do the people on your job know that you are a man of God? Can the people that you are around and acquainted with, do they know that there is something different about your life, brother? This morning, can they tell that you have had an experience with God today? I would ask you and challenge you, if you cannot say honestly that people around you in your inner circle or your closest friends, if they do not respect you as a man of God, if they do not know that Jesus is Lord of your life, you need to find an altar of prayer this morning. You need to find a place and get alone with God and sell out to him and let Jesus be Lord of all. Because what we need in this hour are brave and courageous men of God who are not afraid to stand up for the values of the Bible, who are not afraid to stand up for life and for liberty and for God and country and for the home and for our freedom, to stand up against every adversary this morning in the name of Jesus Christ and proclaim that this good book is true. This word of God is true. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. There's no government literature. There's no historical facts. There's nothing that will ever supersede this Bible. This is a God for living. And I want to ask you, are you sold out and are you living this book this morning? If not, you cannot take the title of man of God. You can't get mad when people don't treat you like a man of God if you don't live like a man of God. I believe that we ought to study to show ourselves approved. We ought to live a life that represents that we are faithful to God. We're committed to God. And our actions and our appetites and our attitudes are going to reflect our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know that there are a lot of people in my life that I look up to, and some of them are look up to them for different reasons. Some of them are students of the Word, and I admire them, and I aspire to be a student of the Word. And some of them are just the most loving and caring people, and I aspire to be loving and caring. Some of them can build things with their hands. My older brother can build anything that he thinks of. He can build furniture, and he can remodel, and he can build and paint and draw and create. He's artistic in every way, musical, everything. And I aspire to be like that. I want to be able to work with my hands and do the things I need to do. But listen, more than any aspiration to be like anybody that walks this earth, my heart's desire is to be a mirror image of Jesus Christ. I want to live a life of service to the people. I want to live a life of commitment to the people. I want everybody to know that David Clark does not live, but it's Christ that lives in him. He sold out a long time ago. He died on that altar, but Christ was resurrected in his heart and his life, and now he no longer lives in that vessel, but Christ fills this temple. It is Christ and only Christ. I heard a story one time. I believe it was of Smith Wigglesworth, and they went to the door and they asked, "Is Smith Wigglesworth here?" And he said, "No, Smith Wigglesworth is dead. Only Christ lives here." I want to have that testimony that Jesus resides in this temple, that David Clark is a vessel of the Holy Ghost of God. And if anybody asks or if anybody says anything, the people that know him are going to say, "I don't know what he used to be. I don't know what your opinion of him is, but all I know is I met him and I met Christ. I saw him, but I experienced the power of God. I talked to him, and all I heard was the Word of God. I want Jesus to be lifted up in my life. I want to be a man of God this morning." It is so imperative that our children see a man of God in the home, a man that is not afraid to be a man of prayer, a man that is not afraid to shed a tear in the presence of God. I know that it is so stereotypical that men aren't supposed to cry. I'm sorry, but I break that stereotype, because when the presence of God comes on me, when I get in a place of prayer or in a time of worship or in the church service and somebody begins to sing about my Lord, the tears begin to flow and I begin to feel the presence of God. I can't help but cry when I get in his presence. Friend, it's all right to be broken before God. It's all right to have a contrite spirit. It's all right to have a humble spirit and to understand that Jesus is Lord, and for us to come under his lordship and allow him to lead us and guide us. It's all right to be a man of God. Listen to me this morning. We need men that are going to be men of faith, men of belief today. What do you believe in this morning? Right now, we have a deficit of men of God in this last hour. It's the reason why America's upside down, because somebody's daddy, somebody didn't get in a prayer closet and teach those children how to live. Somebody didn't be the man of God in that house and to be the man of God to that spouse and to lead that home in the ways of the Bible. This morning, we are seeing the results of years and years of neglect on the behalf of the men of God in our lives. Listen, it's time for us to turn the tables. It's time for us to be men of God in 2020. Get back in the prayer closet. Get back in the altar and let the power of the Holy Ghost fill your life again and rise up and be a man of God in this hour. Teach your children about Jesus. Teach your wife about Jesus. Teach your neighborhood about Jesus. Listen, the Lord's been dealing with me about being a man of God lately, about how that the community looks on me and how that the neighborhood looks on me. About a week ago, we were on our last Sunday evening, actually. We were on our way to leave the house and go to prayer meeting at 6 o'clock before Sunday night service. And we pulled out of our driveway, and on the right-hand side of the road there in the grass, somebody had been walking down the street and was on drugs and just fell out in the road, was unconscious. I got out to see about him, and some neighbors had already called the ambulance. So the ambulance came and was taken him to the hospital. He was still breathing. But listen, after all that played out in my mind, I got to church and was in the choir praying on the pew, and I felt the Spirit of God convict me. And I said, Lord, how is it that drug addicted people that are bound by hell are walking up and down the streets of my neighborhood? And I didn't even know who it was. I'd never seen him in my life. And that tells me that he's never heard the gospel from me before. He's never heard the name of Jesus mentioned from me before. It's time for us to be men of God again. It's time for the neighborhood to know that if nobody else is going to be a man of God at David Clark's address, the power of the Holy Ghost is present, and he's a man of God. If I need prayer, I'm going to go find the man of God. If I need healing, I'm going to go find the man of God. If my marriage is falling apart, I know a man of God that'll lay hands on me and will pray and break the chains of bondage. I know a man of God. Can they say that about us this morning? I want to be a man of God in this last hour. I want my children, when they hear somebody talk about a man of God, I want them to say, that's my daddy. That's my daddy. I know a man of God. You say that a man of God is a man of prayer? That's my daddy. You say he's helpful? That's my daddy. You say he's loving? That's my daddy. I want them to know that their daddy doesn't live for self. I don't live for the desires and the pleasures of this world. I live to serve Christ Jesus. Can they see it? Can they feel it? Do they know that their daddy is a man of God? Listen to me, brethren, this morning. Listen to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That word admonition means authoritative counsel. Authoritative counsel. We don't need wimps and sissies raising children in 2020. You hear me? We don't need somebody who's going to carry their wife's purse around in 2020 and let them wear the pants in the family. Listen to me, men. I don't want to offend you, but I want to encourage you this morning to go find your masculinity and get in the prayer closet until God makes you a man of God. Go back to wherever you left it and find it again. I want you to know today that men's leadership is so desperately needed in this hour. We need Holy Ghost filled men of God to lead the home, lead the church, lead the community, and lead the nation back to its knees to repent before a mighty God. But they're going to follow our example. How can the world know that there's a better way lest we, the men of God, live it in front of them? How will my children know that serving God is better than drugs? How will they know that serving God is better than fornication? How will they know that serving God is better than going up and having your body tattooed and pierced until you're unrecognizable? How will they know that serving God is better than any worldly desire, any drug, any addiction? How will they know that serving God is better? Because they saw Daddy come out of the prayer closet after he had faced hell and high water all week, after he had been laid off the job, after everybody has accused him and ridiculed him and slandered him, but they see you come out of the prayer closet with a smile on your face, with a tear in your eye, with holy hands lifted up to an almighty God, and they'll say, there is something in the heart of my daddy that keeps him going, and I know that it's the power of the Holy Ghost that's keeping him alive. Listen, friends, there is nothing like the example of a holy God live by a daddy to his children so they can know that there is a way to live that'll take you through. There's a way to live that'll carry you in the hard times. There's a way to serve God where he will fight your battles for you. You don't have to go out on the street and be involved in gangs and violence and protests and riots. You don't have to go out and make a demonstration of all the evil and wickedness in the world. But there's a God in heaven that is faithful and just, and he will hear the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It avails still today. It still means something to God when a holy man lifts up holy hands and calls on his God. Are you a man of God this morning? Are you a man of righteousness in this hour? It means something for a child to be able to say, he's not just a man of God on Sunday morning, but if I need prayer on a Thursday night, my daddy will lay hands on me if I ask for prayer. Or if my daddy thinks something's wrong, I can wake up in the middle of the night and he'll be praying for me. Can your children see Christ? Can they feel the presence of God? Are you a man of God? Too many men today have left the will of God and the decisions of God up to their wife. They've left the rule of the home up to their wife. They've even let the children rule the home. But daddies, I want to tell you this morning, it's time to set things in order. It's time to restore godly order to your house. God did not call your wife to be the daddy. He didn't call your wife to be daddy to those children. He called her to be a mother. He called her to be a spouse. He called her to be your helpmeet. He called her to mother your children and to nurture them and to teach them and to lead alongside you. He called you to be the father. He called you with a holy calling to be the priest of your home. You get the will of God for your life. You find the anointing of God on your life. You lead your children. You lead your wife. You lead your family in the fear and admonition of God with authoritative counsel, loving them and caring for their soul and making sure that you do everything in your power to get them into heaven. Are you a man of God this morning? The calling of being a father is a holy calling. It's not something to be taken lightly. No one accidentally becomes a father. Hear me this morning. It is a gift and a privilege to be a father. But you know, just like in the animal world, if somebody wants a puppy, they'll find someone who is a breeder. Don't fall out with Brother David here. If I get candid with you, they'll find someone who is a breeder, who has a male dog there, who will sire puppies, who will be the father. Now they'll father children, and then the puppies will be sold or adopted out or whatever. They just need the male dog to sire the puppies, but he does not father the puppies. But listen to me. The animal kingdom is not like the human race. God did not call you just to sire children. He did not call you just to be a breeder of children. He did not call you. Listen, what breaks my heart this morning is of the 650 million babies that are aborted in America, around this world, all the hundreds and hundreds of millions of babies that the mamas go in abortion clinics and they murder those children, I ask myself, where are the fathers? Where are the men of God? Where is the granddaddies? Where is the papas? Where is the pastor? Where are the men of God in those children's lives? Where is the father? Where is the men of God in this situation? I want to tell you something. You can't blame the affairs of this world on women. You can't blame it on children. We got to look at ourselves, men, and say, did I lead them in the fear and admonition of God? Did I instill the holiness of God into their life? Did I live a life that was knitted to the prayer closet? Did I commit all to Christ so that they would see him in me? Did my children know that I was a anointing of God? Did they see me lay hands on people on the side of the road? Did they hear me declare the word of God? Did they see Daddy's hands lifted up in the sanctuary without wrath or doubting? Did they know that he had a testimony that Jesus was Lord of all? Did he hear people say, I met that man and he was a man of God. He gave and he was committed and he was generous and he was loving and he was kind. But more than anything, he was a man of God. I want to tell you this morning that they're going to write it on your tombstone. People's going to say, well, they was a good man. Well, they died. They left out of here. They were a good man. I don't want to die a good man. I don't want to stand before God as a good man. I want to stand before God as a man of God. I want him to look at me and see Christ. I want the evidence to be there. I want people to meet my children and say, my God, there must be a Holy Ghost-filled man in their life to lead them and to pray over them and to teach them and to lead them to salvation. There must be somebody in their home that is directing them. I want folks to know that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is real in my life. It's not enough that I'm a good man. It's not enough that I don't go to prison. It's not enough that I don't have a criminal history. It's not enough that I've got a credit score. It's not enough that I provide a house. It's not enough that I provide a paycheck. I must be a man of God in this last hour. Men, we've got to be men of God. We've got to be the type of man that the community knows. If I can't get them to church on Sunday, if I need prayer on Tuesday, there's a man of God that lives down the street. I'm going to go knock on the door and ask for prayer. You say, Brother David, that's radical. It's just about time that somebody gets radical. It's just about time that somebody gets back in the prayer closet until we be called disciples of him, until we be known in our circle, our community, as men of God. It's time. Friends, it's time. We were at a birthday party yesterday at a park. Landon was on the playground, my youngest son. He's 7. He was on the playground and he fell and he hit his head. Gave him a big old goose egg up there. We put ice on it and all that. And the first thing out of his mouth, he got calmed down, everything. He looked at his mama and he said, we need to pray. So right there in the middle of the Crystal Springs Park, we gathered folks around. We lay hands on that youngin', and mama and daddy prayed for him in the middle of a birthday party. Friday night, we was at my son Jacob's birthday party, and my mom was there not feeling well. We gathered around, and we laid hands on her in the middle of a birthday party. You say, Brother David, what's that got to do with anything? Are there any men of God out there who, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, who you're around, in the face of adversity, in the face of being called this or that or whatever, or being labeled or being called radical, is there any men of God out there that'll still raise holy hands in the sanctuary and say, I'm one of his? It doesn't matter where he wants to use me, just use me. I want to serve him. I want to be dedicated to him. I want to be anointed by him. Wherever I can go, whatever I can do, I want to be a man of God. I think about Brother Clyde Anderson has gone on to his reward this morning. I think about him leading us and teaching me how to go into the prisons and preach and being a mentor to me and praying for me. He stand up and testify all the time and said, I am a Holy Ghost man. I want to do what the Holy Ghost tells me. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. And I watched that testimony in his life. No matter where we could be sitting in the Mexican restaurant after prison ministry, and he'd get to feeling the power of God. He'd point his crooked finger across that table and he'd tell you what the power of God, what the Holy Ghost of God said to say. He'd go to testifying and edifying right there in the middle of the restaurant. Folks, we need men of God like that right now. America needs men of God. This is a call going out to fathers. Rise up and be a man of God. Rise up and lead your home, lead your community, and let's see the power of God be restored to America today. I love you and praying for you. Glad to be back with you. Come on back next week and join us at 8:30 right here, same time, same place. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Let's get to church and worship God this morning. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us. where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.